All right, if you take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 6, we're on verse 19. Verses 19 through 24, we'll see follow the orders and examples of spiritual leaders. So Ephesians 6, verse 19 says, "And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel." Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are so very thankful for your love, your mercy, your grace towards us, the blessings that we heard about. It's just always a blessing to me to hear about the blessings that you're bestowing on others' lives. Father, tonight I pray that it'll be a blessing as we look into your word, that we learn some things from your word that we again can apply to our lives. It does no good to be under the preaching and teaching of the word if we're not going to apply these things to our lives and share them with others. So I pray, Father, that we will be attentive to your word, that we will apply these things to our lives, and that they will have an impact on those around us, that we would share them, those we come in contact with, so they too can have the truths of your word. So we thank you for what you're going to accomplish tonight. And again, we will not fail to give you all the praise, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Paul did not plead or pray on his behalf in order that his ankles, raw and sore from his shackles, might be healed, or that he might be freed from prison and suffering. His deep concern was that utterance may be given unto me in the opening of my mouth to make known the boldness of the mystery of the gospel. He wasn't concerned about being in prison. He was concerned about his mouth being open to give the gospel out. He was more concerned about that than being in prison. Some people say, "Well, what happens if I end up in jail?" God can take care of that. Can God give us the opportunities in there? Look what he did with Paul. Paul was in prison more than once. It's almost like he liked being there, right? Because when he was in there, he could share the gospel. And a lot of times they're chained to a prison guard, and therefore, captive audience, right? I used to say that all the time when I was selling real estate. My clients would drive in my car with me. That's before everybody thought they had to go in separate vehicles. And I'd put them in my car, tracks always in the door pockets. Who's going to jump out of a car at 35 to 50, 60, 70 miles an hour, right? They're a captive audience. And then when they came out those cars, you put it in automatic, you put it in drive and you go forward, and at a certain speed, all the doors lock automatically. I said, "This is the ideal real estate car. They are a captive audience. What are they going to do? Break the window and jump out? I mean, they're not going to get out till I slow down and the doors are able to be unlocked, right?" Here he's in prison. This guard's chained to him. What are they going to do? Where are they going to go that they're not going to hear it? The chain's only so long. Paul's like, "This is ideal, right? These people have to listen. What are they going to do? Where are they going to go? And if they go anywhere, they got to take me with them. So this is ideal." But he wants, "God, open my mouth that I might share the gospel with these people." Sometimes I wonder if we should just say, every morning, get up and say, "God, open my mouth that I would share the gospel with people." So we could do that. When Satan tempted him to keep quiet about Christ, he wanted God's help to be bold and faithful to proclaim the gospel. Why did Paul end up in prison? Usually. I mean, it was because he was preaching the gospel. Then God allows it to happen. He gets put in prison, and he uses that as an opportunity to share the gospel. People say, well, most people would be timid because they don't want to get more trouble. Paul wasn't concerned about trouble. He was concerned about souls and where they're going to spend eternity, and he wanted to make sure that he would be bold enough to share the gospel with them. God, open my mouth. Give me the desire and the opportunities to share the gospel. He wanted help in his own battle against Satan, and he pleaded with his brothers and sisters at Ephesus to pray towards that end. He also needed prayers of fellow believers because he was a leader. Our enemy knows that when he strikes the shepherd, the sheep will scatter. This utterance of speaking boldly about the mystery of God is speaking as an oracle of God. I call this letting the Lord speak through your mouth. Each time a preacher preaches or teaches, they should be allowing God to speak to the people through them. The boldness comes when you realize that it is not you speaking in your own might, but God speaking through you. It's amazing how many times that God has made that real in my life. It's not me. I can't do this if it's me. Thank God he uses me as his mouthpiece. But I constantly pray, God, put the very words in my mouth. Make sure that I'm preaching your word and not my opinion. The last thing I want to do is preach my opinion. It needs to be the word of God. And I grates on my every nerve when these guys get up and start giving opinion and then say, thus saith the Lord. No, your opinion is not thus saith the Lord. My opinion is not thus saith the Lord. If it's not thus saith the Lord, then don't throw that on the end. But I have had people accuse me of having my own opinion when I've read word for word from the scriptures. Like, I haven't added anything to it yet. That's what God said, not what I said. Don't blame me for what God said. I'm just the messenger. Then Ephesians 6, verse 20 says, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Even in prison, it was important to Paul that he could still share the gospel. Can you imagine? He still wanted people to know the mystery of the gospel. He wanted boldness to proclaim it. You know, our forefathers would stand in prisons and preach the gospel out the grated window openings. And the congregation would meet down below because they might be up on the second story or something. They can't even see them, but they would wave a big flag out so they would see when they were there. And they would preach out that great window and say, "This thus saith the Lord," and the people down below would be just eating it up. I said, do you know the more they tried to quench the gospel, the more it spread? Putting them in prison was like probably the worst thing they could have done, because all it did was help spread the gospel even more. They tried in prison cells and all, they tried to smoke them out, kill them, is what they were trying to do, so they couldn't preach the gospel anymore. And God still preserved many of them, and the gospel went out. And this is Paul saying, I just want to preach the gospel with boldness. I want people to hear the mystery of the gospel and get saved. Because it was his own boldness that attracted the Praetorian Guard to the gospel and that inspired boldness in other witnessing Christians, Paul wanted to make this mystery known. Even when he requested prayer for himself, Paul's purpose and motive, they were selfless. Selfless. To further the gospel, to encourage other believers to glorify his Lord. need to be an encouragement one to another. That's why I'm so consistent in sending out every Sunday encouraging words to the preachers that I know that are close to me. 15 of them. I lost my phone. All of their information was in that phone. I thought, they're not going to get their encouragement today. I said, they're going to wonder what happened to me. Did I fall off the face of the planet? I've been consistent ever since I started it. And I've added a few along the way. I mean, we didn't start with 15, but I've added a few along the way. And then all of a sudden, one week, there's nothing. Even when I'm on vacation, they get it. I mean, they get it. It doesn't matter where I'm at. They still get it until I lose my phone and have no way to get the information to them. So when I got it fixed, I sent them a text, said, lost my phone. I now have a new one. They said, oh, we just thought you were busy. For years, I've been sending these out, and you just thought one particular Sunday, I just was too busy to send it? But that's what they thought. I said, no, I want to be an encouragement to you every single week. We need to encourage each other. Can you imagine if there's no encouragement given, people pretty soon they'll just burn out and go to the wayside. They'll quit doing what they're doing. We need to encourage people to stick with the stuff. Continue to stand in the gap. Continue to proclaim the gospel. Paul wanted to be an encourager. He wanted to be able to motivate these people. And his motives were selfless because he was concerned about other people and where they'd spend eternity. He wanted other believers to be encouraged to go out and do the same thing. We must remember that an ambassador does not express his own opinion, but is a glorified message carrier for the one who sent him. It's not our message, it's his. We just get to be the messenger. Paul is saying, I can be bold because this is God's message to you, not my message. It's easier to be bold when it belongs to God, right? It's his message. You know it's truth. Then Tychicus, bearer of this epistle, in Ephesians 6, 21 and 22, let's look at verse 21 first, says, but that ye also may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things. Realizing that the Ephesian Christians could not pray specifically or intelligently for him without more information, Paul added, but that ye also may know my affairs, about my circumstance, how I am doing. Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will make everything known to you. I like it when people give me specific things to pray for. It makes it easy. I can pray specifically, just a few, right? We've got little Henry. I've been praying for Henry that God would just keep healing him. Also, that every one of the children in the church would come to know Christ at an early age and devote their lives to serving him. These are daily prayers. We've prayed for Miss Sheila, right? For a long time, Mrs. Ramirez's mom. I pray for everyone in the church, but I'm just saying some of these things specifically. If I don't have something that I know specifically for you, I pray that God will meet your needs and keep you safe and healthy. But if I know specifically, I can pray for those detailed points and know that God will hear and answer. He's saying, he will make known to you all that I'm going through, everything that's happening, so that you can specifically pray for me. It says, and I have sent him to you for this very purpose, so that you may know about us, Tychicus, an Asian, had been chosen to accompany Paul and the others in taking the relief offering to Jerusalem. Look at Acts chapter 20. Acts 20, verses 4 through 6. It says, and there accompanied him into Asia Sopater of Berea and of the Thessalonians, Aristarchus and Secundus, and Gaius of Derbe, and Timotheus of Asia, Tychicus and Trophimus. These, going before, tarried for us at Troas. And we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, and came unto them to Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7 days. He was with Paul during his first Roman imprisonment, and was frequently sent on missions by the apostle. He not only delivered this letter for Paul here, but the one to Colossae as well. In both cases, being instructed to give the recipients additional information about the Apostle Paul's situation. If we know about the situation, we can pray better and more earnest. I have no problem going to God over and over and over with the same request. No problem whatsoever. We keep going to Him till He answers the prayer. I waited many, 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 many years for my dad to get saved. God answered that prayer, and I never gave up praying. God showed me that you stay persistent, you'll get your answers. They might not be this second, like we like them, but He will answer them. Look at Colossians chapter 4. Seven through nine. Colossians 4, verse 7. Says, all my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts, with Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you. They shall make known unto you all things which are done here. In both these cases, both these texts here, he is called the beloved brother because he was especially dear to Paul. A beloved brother. Every week, like I said, I send out those things, and every week some of them respond. And every week some of them I hear, we're praying for you, we love you, brother. Praise the Lord. We should have love one for another. And I thank God for putting those men in my life because they are an encouragement to me. I've had several of them tell me I'm more of an encouragement to them than they are to me, and they have no idea because I see it the other way. I am encouraged when I see men that are sticking with it and not giving up and not going the way of so many of our churches, changing the stance, because it's not about standing on the truth, it's about filling the pews. God didn't say it's about filling the pews. It's about getting the gospel to people and having converts, not false professions of faith. We need to see that people will come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, not just come warm a pew. Ephesians, and don't get me wrong, people should come to church, be under the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. Do not get me wrong. There's a lot of people that came to church and got saved in a church service. Do not get me wrong. They should come and listen to the truth of the gospel. But we should not change the gospel to get people in the door. The gospel should always remain the same, and we need to be true to God's word, because the Bible is very clear. It never changes. Look at verse 22, please, of Ephesians 6. Whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know of your affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts. Tychicus was going to give them a report on the condition of Paul in his captivity. Paul did not want to write of himself, but would let others report on his welfare. He explains that they can trust him because he is a brother in Christ. Paul knew that a personal word from someone who had been with him recently would be a comfort to their hearts. Paul had comforted all of the personal, had confided all of the personal news to him, and that he would bring this news to the church at Ephesus. It's always good when you have someone that you can count on, someone you can trust to make sure, someone that's not going to try to undermine what you're doing, but a fellow laborer. Paul knew their great fear of prison, and he wanted them to know that he was not suffering in prison. The man in chains sought to comfort others. Paul basically is, now, this isn't a horrible thing, right? I might be chained to this guard. I might be in prison and not have my freedom, but I still can proclaim the gospel. What are we here for? God left us here to proclaim the gospel. He didn't say it has to be in the comfort of your church building, right? He said, go out. Go and share the gospel, right? To every creature. Doesn't matter who they are. Like I said, you know, you go and you think you're on a quick journey to go do something quick, and God puts somebody in your path that wants to know about the gospel. Perfect opportunity. As I was sharing with the first one, the other one walked up, and I'm thinking, I don't know how she feels about this, but she's going to get a dose of the gospel too. And she got it, and the first lady, she looked at her, and she said, do you know Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior? And she said, as a matter of fact, I do. I said, well, praise the Lord. Don't ever have to worry about if they are or not, just share the gospel. If they know, great. If they don't, praise the Lord. Now they've heard. They have an opportunity now. They've heard. But he's saying, don't be in fear of going to prison so you keep your mouth shut. Keep preaching. God will take care. Prison was not like, oh, this is the end of the world. Look at where I'm at. No, Paul said, this is another opportunity. Look at what God's done. He's given me an opportunity to reach people I wouldn't have reached when I was on the outside. But now I'm in here where I can reach them with the gospel. Then Paul's farewell and conclusion in Ephesians 6, 23 and 24. Start with verse 23. Peace be to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a typical benediction from Paul. The only real peace is in Jesus. I have to tell you, I've said many, many years, and I'm going to keep saying it as long as I got breath, we are never going to see peace till the Prince of Peace brings it. If you have peace in your heart, it's because Jesus Christ gave it to you. There's too many people looking for it in all the wrong places. Jesus is where you find peace. Paul is trying to convey to them that God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ bring peace and love, and if they have enough faith to receive it. It's a beautiful clarity and simple dignity. The apostle's closing benediction here resists resist of its being analyzed. It is not unlike other of Paul's benedictions, yet it seems uniquely to reflect the themes of this rich epistle. Certainly, peace, love, and faith are recurring touchstones in the thought of this great letter. Little wonder Paul gathers all three together and prays that they would be the experience and commitment of all believers. Then, Ephesians 6:24. And dun-dun-dun-dun, we'll be done with Ephesians, right? Ephesians 6:24, grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. Grace or divine favor was the gift Paul desired for all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ with a love incorruptible. That is the love that belongs to true believers. So Paul is really identifying the ones who will receive grace as only those whose love is not temporary and thus untrue, but permanent and thus genuine. Unmerited favor, grace, be with you all who love Jesus Christ and walk in his ways. Then turn to Romans. This will be the last verse we turn to. Chapter 8. Verses 38 and 39. Says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. To apply obediently in the power of the Holy Spirit the principles of peace, love, and faith taught in this epistle will yield to every believer the blessing and favor of God. Then this beautiful benediction sums up the major themes of this very personal letter, reminding readers of the peace, verses 15, 1 and 2, 2:14, 15:17, and 4:3, love in 1:15, 4:2, 4:15 through 16, 5:25, 28 and 33, and faith in 16, verses 1, verse, chapter 1, verse 15, chapter 2, verse 8, chapter 3, verse 12, and verse 17, chapter 4, 5, and 13, from God and Jesus Christ. All of this is covered in this one epistle. It's an amazing, amazing part of the Word of God. Paul's desire was that everyone would know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. God's desire is for everyone to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And it should be our desire that everyone knows Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It's a blessing to be an ambassador of His, to be able to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ no matter where we're at, no matter what situation we're in. There's always someone out there that needs the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we as His ambassadors are supposed to deliver the message. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the book of Ephesians. We thank you for all that it entails and all that we can learn from it. I pray, Father, now that we've finished this book, I pray that we'll take the truths of it and apply these to our lives. I pray that we would see, no matter what situation we're in, no matter where we are, that we can proclaim the gospel. And even though Paul was in prison, he didn't see that as a detriment. He saw it as a positive. It gave him an opportunity to reach people he wouldn't have reached otherwise. Share the gospel, no matter where you're at. So again, Father, if there's someone in our midst who's never accepted Christ as Savior, I pray tonight would be the night for For those of us who have, Father, I pray that we are doing everything we have in our power to be able to get the gospel out to others, no matter who they are, no matter where we're at. There's a lot of people out there. As I preached this morning, there's a lot of hurting people out there, a lot of people that just need somebody to listen to them, someone to be kind, someone to have compassion, and the opportunities to share the gospel will arise. So we thank you for all that you've accomplished so far today, looking forward to the rest of it, and all that you have for us. For it, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.